Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, welcome to Man Baggage. I'm Russell Kane. This is the safe space, guys, where we get men in a circle and hug them and tell them we can talk about anything. In fact, more precisely, it's the space where men talk about the things that usually women are saying. Why don't men talk about X? Whatever sits in that box we talk about. It's wide-ranging. It could be anything from should you shave your chest or not. Turns out there is no conclusive answer to that. God damn it. I've now gone for the nice compromise of one shaved nipple and one with really long, like a long wisdom hair growing out of it. That seems to keep all the gyal happy and asking for more. Lots of different things. We go deep some weeks. We talk about suicide, depression. We go light. We literally go light. We've talked about humour and jokes and how people use that. New Year's resolutions just at January. I mean, a really wide remit. And I always like to drill into the head of a man who I find appealing, curious, mysterious, deep, funny, tender, straddling generations of being both young and just holding on with his nails to young at the same time. I'm talking, of course, about stand-up comedian, funny man, Emmanuel Sanubi. How are you, Emmanuel?
I'm good, mate. Do you know what? I genuinely thought you were going to go with her, but we couldn't get him, so we had to get... I was waiting for that one.
You're all those things. You're all those things. So you've got a show on sale at the moment, that's right, a comedy special coming out the 1st of March.
Yeah, 1st of March in the Comedy Store London. Piccadilly Circus.
And for people that haven't seen you live, and I have a couple of times, please get tickets and go. It's fucking awesome. Normally it has a whole front row of ladies. I can't work out why. I think that's a really sexist arrangement of the audience. Just distribute yourself evenly, girls. Now, it would be so easy to sit here with one or two guys, or three, as we do when we do the live version of this show, and just blokes dipping their digestives and talking about the world. And, well, you know what women think? There are plenty of spaces like that. Seek them out. You can masturbate onto pictures of Jordan Peterson and then smoke weed at the end of the night. However, I thought it would be a good idea to always have a strong female voice, a lady auditor, if you like, who would maybe just check some of the things we believe to be true. And men be like, women be like, but sometimes it's more complex than that. Sometimes it's on the money. Sometimes, you know, might be able to provide insight into how we've got into some of the pickles we have and how, why some of the things we think are false or true or whatever. Anyway, I'm honoured today to be joined by Sophie McCartney. Now, you can't miss her if you're on social media. And if you're into stand-up or comedy at all, you need to discover her. She's got a book coming out all about parenthood. That's really relevant. I'll tell you more in a moment. That's Tried and Tested, The Wild Ride into Parenthood. Sophie McCartney, welcome to Man Baggage. Let me flop my man baggage out right in front of you and say welcome.
Thanks. I love to see your baggage and your luggage. Everything that you're packing. I'm here for it.
And your videos are hilarious. So I've disappeared down a bit of a wormhole of those earlier. You're really quite good at capturing some of the sort of mental corners we back ourselves into. I was watching your New Year one as well about your eating resolution.
It
finishes with you eating a Toblerone and going, maybe we should start in February.
Yeah. I mean, why do we bother? There's no point. It goes for males and females. Just absolutely pointless. Just January. It's the worst month of the year, isn't it? Just ride it out to maybe April, May when it starts getting warm. You need to worry about getting your bingo wings out again. And then you're fine.
We just had a previous episode as well. That was on diet and body. So do check that out if you're into all those subjects. Anyway, let's crack on. We want to talk about parenting. Emmanuel, how many children? State.
Two. One of each.
Ages?
A 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Sophie, what are you packing?
Well, nearly samesies there. I've got two. Unless, you know, something that we don't know about. What a night.
You were at one of his gigs, were you?
Front row.
Yeah, always ends the same.
Yeah, I've got one of each. I've got a 8-year-old boy and I have got a 6-year-old girl who is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Boys, just fairly straightforward, simple creatures. Girls, wow, just next level, next level.
Yeah, I've just got one female, and that's the only child I'll be having. The best contraception you can ever have is to have a demanding female child first.
Yeah.
Sperm count reduced to zero upon contact. So, I wanted to talk about parenting today because for me, parenting is interesting. Before babies, feminists, male of the male and female type, I think the roles have evolved so much. You know, we've changed the way we are. Everything's interchangeable between men and women, and everything's going to be passed out evenly in our house. We won't be dictated to by the patriarchy. Normally ends up with a woman holding a shitty nappy, complaining about how the world hasn't changed enough. In my friendship groups, no matter how hard you try, we do seem to default to some of these annoying stereotypes once babies come along. I wondered if that was your experience, Sophie.
Yeah. Do you know what? When I kind of knew what we were going to be talking about, I had a quick chat with my husband and I was like, just so you know, I am going to be throwing you under the bus. I was like, but it's fine because I will revive you. You're going to be slightly injured still and bleeding from several orifices, but I will redeem you. But yeah, do you know what? A lot of it still falls to us. And I think, you know, with all the will in the world, you know, there are guys doing that. I mean, there are same-sex parents. There are, you know, two guys out there doing it together, or there are single guys out there doing it on their own. So, you know, to some extent, you know, the guys are doing their bit. But I think when there's a woman in the relationship, I think there's almost like an automatic default to us, because let's face it, we're the sensible ones. So, you know, I can see the purpose. I can see the reason for it. But yeah, for sure.
What aspects of parenting do you think men excel at traditionally then, Emmanuel? And what have you excelled at?
It's a weird one, because so trying to answer on behalf of all men, I can only say sort of what I feel I'm good at, because I've always found that parenting is a partnership. So there's a lot of sort of stereotypical roles that people will fall into. And to be fair, some of them are easier. So when our first was born, because we breastfed, I can't do the night feed. It's impossible for me to do the night feed. So I never had to get up, but I was always aware that she had to get up.
Never considered milking your wife. I mean, I did. I disappeared down a breast pump wormhole. I don't think that sentence has been said before. And I really got into the research. Lindsay was milked. Boom. Night feed for me. No problem.
But did you not think so just what you were saying, Emmanuel, like, you know, you couldn't get up, you know, you could get up. You know, I feel that that's there is the man excuse. Oh, you know, she was doing the feeds. I couldn't do anything. You could have just stayed there and sympathised.
It wasn't that I couldn't get up. It's that I didn't have to get up. But when she did get up, that would wake me up and I'd be aware that she was up. So if she was in like coming back half asleep, really not wanting to do that, you're there to support.
Yeah. See, I nearly murdered my husband when I was breastfeeding. My choice murder weapon was a saturated milk pad. No, it was a pad. Nice. Because he was lying there and he would do this. My daughter, she was horrendous. Previous note about her being an absolute nightmare. And yeah, if she'd come first, I probably would have stuck at one as well. But she would wake every hour to be fed. And I swear to God, he didn't even flinch. And she would be screaming. And I'd hold her next to his ear while, you know, she was absolutely screaming her head off. And he would snore and his mouth would be open, and I would just like have this little fantasy very briefly about just getting that milky pad and just ever so slightly just shoving it on in there all the way down to the larynx. And then he'd wake up in the morning and he'd turn around and I'd be there with like eye bags big enough to do a big shop in, like down to my chin, and he'd turn around to me and just have this genuine look of joy on his face, and he'd go, "She had a good night, didn't she?" And I'd be like, "Are you freaking kidding me? Like, I don't understand." So men excel just not listening, really, in parenting.
I'll be honest, I have done that. That has been me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like we had that one of those baby, the heart monitor mats that they sleep on.
Oh, yeah,
and when they roll off it and the alarm goes off, the alarm went off, I didn't even flinch.
No, sure. The first time I did that, I hit the ceiling the first time that alarm went off. I was like, "Oh, baby." I went through into the loft.
But then you get complacent, because once you realise actually they're quite sensitive, and when they start moving around,
baby's dead,
like,
again. Do you want to go and get it?
Yeah. More concerned about burglar alarm.
Lindsay was we were sat downstairs. We were both knackered, and outside, like, a crow landed on the conservatory roof, and it went, and her body was so on like on edge, she squirted milk out of both her tits at the same time. She went, that's one of the funniest things happened to us. We laughed and then cried a bit at the end because we were both so tired. What about the emotional side of it? I mean, the stereotype is that men are just as emotional and don't show it. Funny, I had this a direct message just the other day with someone giving me some statistics of how many men have postnatal depression. Now, I know a lot of girls are going to make fun of this and throw their listening devices across the room, but it does appear to be a real thing. There is a low after birth that men will hide because they think, shit, I don't have a hormonal excuse, how pathetic. So I better hide how I'm feeling because I've got no visa to have feelings. But the statistics would suggest there is a kind of high after this period of excitement. And also there's some science to suggest, quite good science, that men have a dip in testosterone, quite a severe one, in the later stages of a woman's pregnancy. It doesn't have to be your wife. It can be, you can be a gay man living with a friend. You could be living with your sister. You could be an older lad living with your mum. They think it's a safety thing from back in the day for evolution, that the lower men's testosterone was when a newborn baby was around, the safer that baby was. That's the theory.
Okay. So they wouldn't eat
but them. This would also... No, but exactly. But the side theory is we're depressed. So let us lay in bed, Sophie. We're so down. Let us recover. What do you think of that, Emmanuel?
It's really hard.
It is hard if you're getting a low moment. Like, I got a real bad one. I'm like, shit, man, why am I panicking? Why do I feel like I can't do anything? But I couldn't really go up to Lindsay and say, excuse me, I'm having like an existential crisis. No. You just go, really? I've just been sewn up from my ass to my fanny. Do you want to fuck off?
Yeah, that's not the time for you to be chirping up about. Yeah, no.
See, I didn't have a low, and I think it's because my dream has always been I've wanted a son. So from the moment I found out we were having a boy, I couldn't have been any happier. And when he finally arrived, again, I couldn't have been any happier. But it turned me into an emotional wreck. I have not cried this much ever in my life. And it could be the smallest things. I'll see something on TV that will just remind me of something and I'll burst into tears. There's films I can't watch.
What about when you got your first chore tour review? You got your first chore tour review. Is that...
I don't think I've actually had one yet.
Ah, right. So that's it. That you'll cry more than
when that comes, so. then I'll start crying about that one as well.
I got one, but it wasn't me. it was my name and details, but it wasn't me. So, you know, maybe just take not being reviewed. Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But what is that? Like, when a woman gives birth and we see her crying on one born every minute, it just all makes sense to me. Of course, she's going to cry. She's been through a profound physical experience, the profound emotional experience of what's been growing inside you, being held in your arm. But when a man is crying in that moment, what's actually happening on a physical level, do you think, Sophie? I'll get you to answer first, then maybe Emmanuel can reveal what actually was happening. What do you think's happening?
Do you know what? Right, I might have a little bit of a Debbie Downer moment on the lols of the potential humour around the topic, but I had quite traumatic births with both of my kids, like horrendous. I had two emergency sections with both of them. Like, I breed massive kids. Like, I'm quite petite. No, honestly, like giant, Hulk babies that are like daft cats. They get themselves into tight spaces and they just can't get themselves out. So my eldest, he was £10.10 when he was born. Yeah, I know. Don't you come whinging at me about your emotions. My husband had come at me. My husband had come at me saying he needed a little cry in the corner. I would have told him to off is what I would have done. So yeah, I have gigantic babies and I'm not very good at birthing my gigantic babies. So I had a really like horrendous birth with that. And I think for him, like it was his job when I was in labor to, you know, be calm and make sure I just didn't freak the fuck out, which, you know, I was. And I had to be knocked out under anesthetic for mine as well. And I think I just remember my kind of last memory in that situation is that he had been so stoic and so calm and telling me everything was going to be all right. And they literally threw him out of the operating theater. And I saw the panic in his eyes. And I think, you know, there's this whole bravado, I guess, that comes with, you know, that you've got to be the strong one and you've got to be there for the woman. But actually, it's pretty terrifying for you guys as well, because you've got no control over a situation. And I think for a woman, you know, there's a little bit of us that just, it's not really accepting your fate, but you're in a position of trust and you go, do you know what, right, I've got to get this baby out. That's the only two ways about it. And there's a bit of you that goes, do you know what, if I croak on the way, it's fine, get the kid out. But as a man that's standing there watching it, that is pretty terrifying. So I imagine, you know, people who have witnessed pretty horrendous births and the trauma that's happened to their partner, it is pretty traumatic for the blokes as well. So I am going to side with the men on that one and the statistics, because I can imagine actually there's probably like a little bit of a delayed trauma that comes with all of that as well. It's quite a sensible answer.
Emmanuel, does that any of that resonate?
Yeah, it's that feeling of helplessness because there's nothing you can do. You are completely useless in that environment. You're just there saying really obvious things, telling them to breathe like they weren't going to do that. No one's ever gone through a pregnancy holding their breath thinking, oh, I wish someone was here to tell me what to do. So it is that very much, you're just there. I've got five older sisters that have all got a lot of children. And one of my sisters was a midwife. So there was a lot about the birthing experience that I already knew. So I already knew to shut the hell up and do exactly as I was told is the best way to get through it. If you need something, then just make sure that they've got it. It was, for me, that simple, because there wasn't anything else that I could actually do. So that was my game plan. But the first time I cried, because I was fine through it, and even when he was there, I was just so overwhelmed with the fact that my boy was there. But the first time I cried, he must have been about a week or maybe 2 weeks old, and she'd put him in bed with me. And I'd woken up, and his face was just there. And as I opened my eyes, he smiled and it broke me. And that was it. I was crying like a Marine, like a real man. So, don't look at me.
Release the tears.
Could you just not say anything because you had a breast pad shoved in your mouth?
Do your tears come out like tsunamis? They go back and then roll back again for a second wave.
They come out and do press-ups, mate. That's because the men.
So, like, once we get the babies out and we get home, I'll tell you what I found a bit. This was from my female friends, even more than my male friends. It's like acting astounded that I'm doing my bit or have any ability in areas. This was before it started. So I can't help it. I'm the organised holiday planning, you know, on witch.com. As I said earlier, comparing the breasts. I'm a details planner type person. I'm good in that situation. So even when it came down to conception, I was the one with the freaking ovulation charts on the wall. I know what to do when. And I was the same when the baby came along. I knew which cot had this. I knew which angel mat did that. I knew which breast pump. I had the feeding schedules. That I knew how to get a sleep pattern going if that's what she wanted to do. I was on all that. And everyone was like, oh, my God, where are you? What are you? It's superhuman. It's like, what the fuck? All I did was use Google. But girls are as amazed as men when a man is slightly capable with a very, very newborn.
I've had someone say to me, oh, well done. Look at you looking after your kids.
Yeah. Like babysitting.
That's what you're meant to do.
Yeah, that gets me when people be like, oh, you know, if you dare step foot outside the house, like, oh, who have you left a baby with? The other person that made it.
Takes two to lift it, though, remember? Yeah. It's £10.10.
Exactly.
Yeah. Take an end
a
each.
Bench.
I'll take the legs, you take the arms, we'll get it upstairs. What's the rookiest error you've ever made as a parent? So when you're going to have to think back to your first one here. Did you do like straight in the bed? I want to feel my baby close to me, and then it was still there, aged like five.
Oh yeah, I did that. Yeah, mine are still there. Mine are still there.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you not find that problematic?
Oh, it's not every night. Yeah, no. Sometimes it's a great excuse. Just look at every cloud.
Yeah. I work at the baby's there.
Yeah, ooh, so inappropriate. Social services will get involved. It's tricky. It's not all the time. But sometimes it's actually quite nice. I think because mine are now getting bigger. I think yours are still... How old's yours, Russell? How old's yours, Russell?
She's six.
Okay. So yeah, so my little boy, he doesn't really do it often at all. But my daughter is really clingy. And I think that's, again, it goes back to the fact that she was a freaking nightmare as a kid. So she was always attached to me.
She wanted to cling in the womb forever by the sounds of it. And never be born.
Because I feel like they're getting older and they're slipping away from me. There's a little bit of me that quite enjoys it. But probably the bed wasn't my biggest rookie error. There was a pretty horrendous shitgate incident that happened. And you know, did you know this? I didn't know this until after I had kids, and then they were out of nappies and vests and things. But you know the little vests that they wear with the little foldy bits at the top? Do you know what they're for?
No.
Oh, I'm going to blow your minds, lads. Blow your minds. So you know the way they've got the little envelope openings at the top, right? Yeah. That's when they have gigantic shits that are all up their back and in their ears that you then don't pull the vest over their head. It rolls down over their arms, so you pull it away from their eyes.
I shit-headed my baby every time.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
You're welcome. Too late for her now. Yeah.
She was a poo emoji for 2 years.
Yeah. It's a lifetime's worth of conjunctivitis for that child.
I mean, I did quite a bad one of my first walks out, where I was really nervous because you just feel like someone's going to, you know, the first walk out on my own pushing the buggy. We'd done a couple of walks together and I wanted to do one around the block, and you just feel like someone's going to run up and snatch your child from you. And just for a second, I tied the pug to the buggy, turned around to lock the door, and that was it. My first moment out of the house, buggy on its, pram on its side. Oh. Pretty bad. No one was hurt, but, you know, you sort of feel so awkward, horrible afterwards. You feel like, oh my God, I'm fucking a bad
baby
parent.
Off the curb.
I can replace it with one that looks like it. Done anything bad, Emmanuel?
Oh, gotcha. There's been a couple. One of them was with my youngest, Chloe, as she was being potty trained. And she wasn't feeling very well. And I should have seen the signs, because she wasn't going to the toilet. And you could see, looking back, you could see she was uncomfortable. I thought, oh, she'll let me know when she wants to go. She didn't. And she was sat at the top of the slide in this.
Oh, no.
God.
We were at a farm where they had a soft play. And she sat at the top of this, and she looked scared to come down.
I'll give you some soft play.
And I thought, she used to, yeah. I was like,
how's this for soft play?
I was thinking, why is she scared? Like, she likes slides. And then all of a sudden, she just looked relieved and slid down. And I didn't realise until I scooped her up at the bottom of the slide that she wasn't wearing a nappy as well. And then I looked down, and there was just the whole poo streak the whole way down the slide. And I'm holding her, and it's all over my hands now. And I'm just like, okay, right, need to find a toilet really quickly. Lucky enough that I knew some of the other mums, and they were like ninjas. They had wet wipes out quicker than anything. That place was spotless by the time I got back. It was amazing.
Oh, no, I've had a similar soft play incident, but with Wee, and my daughter had gone all the way up to like the third layer of Dante's health, like right at the top on like a rope bridge, and she'd weed, and I saw it go down all three layers onto the kids below,
oh
right?
My God, but to make that's it, amazing.
But I don't know whether it makes it better or worse that we'd hired it for my son's birthday, so we knew all the kids that were there, so it wasn't even like we could hide from them. And they're all just standing there, and his pictures, like to do his like Lego Ninjago cake, like a little bit of damp on their shoulders. Yeah.
Who did she piss on at the party? Pissed on everyone.
I know. The parents. I was like, it's apple juice. Someone spilled an apple juice, guys. Just get the wet floor sign out. Be careful. Don't slip.
I was going to say, according to YouGov, it recently showed that one third of mums think they are better parents than their partners. 32% of men thought that they were worse parents than the mothers. So both sets of parents think that they're better. No surprise there.
Yeah, but I still know how to turn the grill on to do the fish fingers, and he doesn't. So I still win. After how long we've been parenting, I still win.
I don't think we're any better or worse than each other. I think, because you said it earlier on, Russell, where you've got like same-sex parents as well. I don't think we're any better or worse. I just think we're different, but we make a good parenting team, because there's things that I do a lot. Like, we've both got sort of roles that we've developed over their life, which means there's certain things that I do more of, there's certain things that she will do more of. But together, it works and everything gets done.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a break there. I can feel the labour pain started. I'm fully dilated and it's time to give birth to a break. That's the end of part one.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.